This is Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. Why are so many of the best skiers dying? That's the question posed in this month's Powder Magazine cover story. Editor-at-large Matt Hansen wrote the article.
We at Powder Magazine throughout the year started to notice a very troubling trend in skiing. The most elite athletes, skiers in the world, were dying at a troubling rate. These were the Derek Jeters, the John Elways, and the Joe Montanas of their sport. And if that had happened anywhere else, you know, in everyday mainstream sports, people would definitely take notice. And so we were looking at that. And if you look at this list, there are several names, and it just increases at a steady clip as you go forward to last winter.
The feeling you get from reading your piece is the numbers are important, but equally important or more is a trend you're seeing in the sport. You write, people started to wonder when skiing evolved from being a fun activity where the day's thrills, spills, and excitement would be recounted later over beers to a sport where any little mistake would cost you the ultimate price. One week after another, you waited for the next piece of devastating news. Talk to me about that trend. And we're not talking about, like, you know, blue runs and black runs in the resorts here, are we?
No, we're talking at the very highest level of skiing. We're talking about going into terrain or in a terrain park that has huge jumps, terrain that is very steep, very complex, with the chance of avalanches, rocks, ice. What we've been seeing, this trend, is that the level of skiing, and in my piece, Rob Gaffney, who is a doctor of psychiatry in Squaw Valley, he called it a cultural shift in skiing. And part of that is due to the gear that has gone through a revolutionary change over the last 10 to 15 years.
Yeah, it's just allowing more people into the backcountry more easily.
It is. The boots and the bindings are lightweight, very comfortable, also very high performance. And then you have skis with rocker technology, which makes it easier to ski powder and more fun. Skiing has never been easier, and getting to risky terrain, dangerous terrain, has never been easier. And so I think that's the trend that we are seeing. And now when you have more people than ever before putting themselves in dangerous situations where the margin of error is very small, you're going to have some pretty bad accidents. And, you know, and at the very top level, where skiers are the best athletes of their trade in the world, they're doing things that if they fall, if they make a slight little human error mistake and they fall, there are some very serious consequences.
From reading your piece, it seems the most common way that these top skiers died is in avalanches. There are other ways that people were seriously injured and killed, but avalanches seem to be the culprit.
Well, that's true. The thing about avalanches is that they're very, very hard to predict. Last year, we had a very tenuous snowpack. There was not a lot of snowfall. You had these rotten layers underneath any kind of new snowfall, and so it was collapsing and running and sliding more frequently. And people were going out in the backcountry and getting caught. But erratic weather patterns have kind of created a little bit more of a tough task for avalanche forecasters over the last several years. The forecaster will come and say, I've never seen anything like this in 30 years of forecasting.
You were talking about some of the deaths recently being the Derek Jeters of this sport. And I wonder if you might talk to us about one name that came across your desk, an obituary, basically a remembrance you wrote for Powder Magazine, that just stuck out. I mean, that really hit you as losing an icon in the sport. Tell us about someone who has been killed in this kind of ratcheting up in skiing.
You know, I'll give you a couple names. It kind of started for me when Doug Coombs passed away in 2006. He was the king of steep skiing. He started steep ski camps in Jackson Hole, and then he got banished from Jackson in the late 90s for skiing out of bounds. He started a steep ski camp in Le Grave, France, where he eventually died. A couple years later, Shane McConkie was ski base jumping in Italy. That was in 2009, and I remember exactly where I was when I got the word that he died. I was on a powder day up at Steamboat, and I just sat down, and I just couldn't believe it. And by the way, Shane introduced rocker technology to skiing and changed forever the way that we will ski mountains. C.R. Johnson, an incredible athlete who showed everybody what was possible in the early 2000s on what you could do in a half pipe. And now halfpipe skiing is an Olympic sport. When you're talking Olympic skiing and freestyle, you have to talk about Sarah Burke, who tragically passed away last winter skiing a halfpipe training run in Park City. She was truly an icon, and the reason that women's freestyle skiing is where it is today is because of her. All these people I just mentioned were the icons, they were the pioneers, they were the experts. These were the people who were not supposed to die.
You're listening to Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner, and joining us is Matt Hansen, who's editor-at-large for Powder Magazine. He's written in a recent issue an article that asks, why are so many of the best skiers dying? Has any of this changed the way you ski?
Most definitely. After Coombs died, I was skiing this pretty crazy couloir over in France, and I was thinking to myself, what am I doing here? You know, if Coombs died, I'm... You know, so it definitely changes the way I have skied. Some people think I'm overly cautious. I'm always telling my brother and my sister to be really careful. It's really important. And so it definitely has changed me as a skier for sure.
And Matt, I want to ask about the media's role in this trend in skiing to take bigger and bigger risks. You mentioned the role of social media, of skiers who post videos and who brag about, you know, doing something more and more risky. But I also want to ask about your own magazine's role in this, which you acknowledge in your piece, that you both report on the people who die, but you also create an environment in which people are elevated to hero status when they do something death-defying.
Yeah, and those are really good questions. To start off with social media, we have to be careful because it is such a new thing. To say that a skier died just because he wanted to post a photo on Facebook it's nothing that I would ever suggest.
Okay.
But what social media has done, in my view and others, is that it has created more exposure than we've ever seen. Every day you have skiers posting photos or words about their exploits. You start to think that everybody else is doing this really fun, crazy stuff, and it makes you want to go out there too, and it makes you want to think, why am I not out there? Why can't I do this? And it makes it harder to say no. When you're out there and you're with a group of friends and everybody has their iPhone out and they're going to take a photo of this sweet untracked powder, it makes it really difficult to say, you know, I'm not feeling good about this. I'm just going to take the easy way down.
And what about your own magazine's role in this? Have you thought
about it? Yeah, for sure. And we have to take responsibility as Powder Magazine and other magazines. And I think Ski Movies, Powder's been around for 41 years, and we have always celebrated the incredible journey of the skier's life, which is going outside of your personal boundaries to find deep snow in wild places. But we are also elevating the standard by which people are published in a magazine. When we go through photo selections and we look at things and we get down to the finest detail of what makes a good ski shot, people want to be that. We have, I believe, contributed to a culture that places a value on taking big risks. Now, everybody is free to do whatever they want. We're not saying don't go do this. In fact, we're saying go do this, but just be careful. You know, think before you go. Make sure that you have the right equipment. Make sure that you have taken an avalanche class. Because when you step out of those boundaries, it's the real deal.
So there's this psychiatrist, Rob Gaffney, and he has started something called Sportgevity. And his idea is, let's prolong the lives of our top skiers. What is he doing?
Sportgevity is his attempt to address this concern, and it's a campaign to get out the message to primarily younger skiers who he says have grown up in a culture that sort of worships the heroes and glorifies death among their ski heroes. And he wants to spread the message that it's okay to say no and to be smart about what you're doing in order to come home at the end of the day, and praise these other skiers who have had a long ski career. And the reason why they've had long ski careers is because they've been smart, and they'll wait for the time to push it.
Isn't the cat out of the bag? I mean, you know, you're going to publish in next month's issue photos of rad things happening on the slopes, you know, and is there really any going back?
I think that for the top level skiers today, I don't know if there is any going back. But I think that what we all need to do is look at what we're about to do and just think about it some more. Slow down.
Matt, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Ryan.
Matt Hansen is editor-at-large for Powder Magazine. His article in the December issue is called Nature's Feedback: Why Are So Many of the Best Skiers Dying?